Paul, in case you don't know Paul Stevens, and Paul and Beth and Millie and Josh, the family have been with us for a year and a half. But what you don't know about Paul is he's an incredibly gifted young man. And it's a real honor and a privilege this morning for him to share God's word with us. And I just want to encourage you to really hear God through what he's saying. Because every time I've heard Paul speak in our missional community or whatever, I've really felt God touch my heart. And there's something really special about him. So I'm going to pray for him. Father, thank you for Paul. Thank you for Beth, Millie and Josh. Thank you that these are part of our family and we bless you for them. And this morning we ask that you would just anoint Paul to share your word with us and that it would find a home and a place to reside in our hearts so that when we leave this place we will be different and it would impact us throughout the whole of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So today is my first time of talking for like 2.5 years. So hopefully we'll be all right. So I forgot my little clicker. Oh well. So we're in, the theme is Made for More. And we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. So I'll read them out for you and then we'll go from there. So you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So there's tons of stuff in that I could probably talk for like 10 hours, which I won't. So I'm not going to cover everything. I'm just going to cover the key bits that God's kind of stirred in me and spoke in me, and hopefully they'll stir something in you as well. So the first little bit, which I probably won't take much time on, but he uses this little phrase, which is be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it's just chucked him right at the start, and then he carries on with everything else. So in processing and looking at everything else, this little thing of be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, I think is key to being able to live out the rest of the stuff that he talks about. And so when I pictured be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, there's like a response for me to do something. He says, be strong. So I have to do something in order to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. The grace is there, available, accessible, but I do something to access that and make a decision to access that. Does that make sense? So like the picture, which I like, and is I quite like, anyone like eating pickled onions? No? Yeah? Love pickled onions, right? So what's that got to do with be strong in grace? So here we go. So you take your onion, right? First of all, you've got to like take the hard skin off, don't you? Yeah? You put it in your pickle. So your onion is now in the pickle, right? But not only does the onion go in the pickle, the vinegar then as well will go into the onion. So you've got both aspects of being in the vinegar and then the vinegar being in the onion. Does that make sense? So if we're in God's grace, I think there's a couple of things we need to do to be part of that. One is if we're really hard and I've got a strong outward shell, it doesn't matter how much I try and position myself in God's grace, I'm not actually in God's grace. It might be surrounding me, but am I going to be able to move in his grace with my hard exterior shell? Not a chance. I've got to be willing to put down whatever issues or whatever things that might harden me in order to let God's grace permeate all of me so I'm positioned in him, within him, in me, and then out of that, I'll move in his grace. Make sense? So if we, all the time, there's little things that, as I look at the rest of the passage, I'm like, in order to achieve this, I need to be strong in his grace. And that's part of how to do that. So verse 2 says, things you heard in front of many witnesses. Teach to faithful men that will teach others. And this is the main bit that kind of caught me that I want to kind of look at and concentrate on. When I get close to my time, can you give me a nudge as well? With like 3 minutes to go and then. So let's have a look. So I like understanding things. So I looked at this word of teach the faithful men. What is faithful? Because one, I think I want to be a faithful person that can be taught stuff that teaches others. As well as obviously I want to be someone who can teach faithful people stuff. So if I need to understand what faithful is. So I had a look in the old Strong's to have a look and see what it meant. And let me put it in the right order. So it says about trusting and faithfulness is of a person who shows himself to be faithful in the transactions of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. One who kept his plighted faith worthy of trust and that can be relied on. And I love that Paul says, teach faithful people. He doesn't say teach the most intelligent people you can find. Go teach those people. Look for them. Teach them stuff. He doesn't say look for the most vulnerable who are easy to manipulate. Go teach them. He says look for faithful people. Go teach them. So what does it look like for me to be a faithful person? It talks about following commands and stuff. And I was thinking, what does that look like with regards to faith and everything else? So verses wise, it says, Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So part of me being faithful is loving God and keeping his commandments. What does it look like to keep his commandments? Well, that's summed up in Matthew 22, 35 to 40, about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I think a faithful person, that's one of their characteristics, is someone who loves God with everything, loves people with everything. It says about following commandments. So what does that mean? I think a faithful person is someone who changes and grows. So if I, obviously been here now a fair few Sundays, year and a half, whatever. If I'm exactly the same person that I was when I first attended here, and I haven't changed, I don't think you could class me as a faithful person. Because I'm meant to be learning and growing, and if I'm faithful, I'm going to apply stuff and change. Because it talks about us going from glory to glory. And God talks about the work that he started in us, completed it. So therefore, to be faithful, I have to be applying stuff. If I just hear stuff on Sunday and go, yeah, I've learned that, and therefore I can just tell someone else what I learned, I'm not convinced that lines up with the faithfulness, because the faithfulness is about applying it, not just being able to retell it. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm looking for is Paul's heart. He said, look for these people who can catch stuff. And then it says faithful men. So I double checked. Does he actually mean men or, you know, everyone? And so you check the word. It means everyone. It's not just man. So you're all right, women. This applies to you. So suddenly he goes, it comes to a place where actually Paul's saying to Timothy, I want you to look for people who are faithful. I love how he doesn't say also, look for believers. Doesn't say look for believers that you can teach or will teach others. Just says look for faithful people. So I think some of this stuff we can actually teach anyone that lines up with that characteristic that's a faithful person. Does that make sense? And also then it widens it out to everyone. I should therefore, everyone has the opportunity to be a faithful person who can teach others. Yeah, because if I'm the thing of a faithful person is you learn something, you apply it, and you get changed. Therefore, what God's doing in me, I can then take that and teach others. And therefore, all of us has got something to say that we can teach others. So if I have a think, what are some of the lies or some of the things that could click in? So it's the church leader's responsibility to do all the teaching. If you take this verse, that statement's a lie, isn't it? Because Paul's saying here, find faithful people who'll go and teach others. So therefore, the fact of just saying it's the church leader's responsibility to teach everyone, that ain't true. So if that's my default of, well, actually, all my teaching I'm going to receive and how I'm changed to become more like Jesus is all put on, say, Andy's shoulders, that's not correct. It's all of us have got a responsibility where we can teach each other and teach others. You'll teach others. They'll teach others. And if we do that, imagine how much more and faster we'll grow, because it's not just about Sundays then. Sundays, I think, has got a key part to play, but it's not just about Sundays. So the way it would work is, anyone remember what's the key themes out of the week since we've been doing this series? Anyone? So you had Andy, you've had Ed. Shall I tell you? So these are the key things that spoke to me. Andy and Ed probably covered loads of other things. The key things that spoke to me. So one was, Andy summed up right at the end, was who's your pulse? And about being fathered and having people that draw stuff out of you and stuff like that. And that was one of the things. Ed talked about right at the end, covered fear and about God wanting us to bring to a place where we don't move in fear anymore and being set free in that. So if we're faithful people, have we applied and started to live out those things? That's the challenge. So you've heard those preachers a couple of weeks ago. You can turn up on a Sunday. Nice preach. Yeah, enjoyed that. Go home. Get the next one the following Sunday. What change has that brought? Because I think there's a responsibility on me to take that and change and live it out. And what does that look like? So as soon as I knew the series on 1 Timothy, on 2 Timothy was going to be spoke on, I said to Beth, oh no. Like proper, oh no. And why was I like, oh no? Because I instantly knew God was saying, Paul, it's time to deal with some issues. Like straight away, because I knew exactly what like 2 Timothy 1 was. So as soon as it mentioned, I was like, God's got me. He's cornered me into a position of dealing with some stuff. And therefore, I've got a response. If I'm going to be a faithful person, I need to deal with my stuff. If not, what have I got to teach? Not a lot, I don't think. And so, what changes have I made on that since those things? Well, I've started to deal with some of my baggage and some of my issues and some forgiveness and stuff like that. And part of that is I was like, well, I need help to deal with that. So I made some effort and got some help and started dealing with some stuff. I think that's what being faithful is about, is you hear and you change. What does it look like then if you take that to teach others? Wouldn't it be cool if you responded on the Sunday when Ed said about fear and God set you free on fear stuff? And then you went home and you said, you know, some friends said on Monday, you know, what have you done on the weekend? And you're like, well, you know, I don't know if I told you, but I'm normally scared of doing this thing. Well, on Sunday I got prayed for in church, and suddenly I've been set free from this fear of this thing. And you explain how God set you free, and suddenly you're now in a place of freedom, and what that looks like and how that experienced. Would you like to experience some of that? Is there anything you're afraid of that you'd like to experience some freedom on? Do you think that lines up with what he's saying of teach faithful people who will teach other people? I do. And that becomes everyday life, doesn't it? And I think we can all do that in our own unique way that's just us. And it's learning to be comfortable with that. And that's when life becomes exciting then, because suddenly, what God's doing in us, you'll start to see God doing in the lives of people around you, and then you'll start to do it in the lives of people around them, and the lives of people around them, and the lives of, and it just grows. And then we'll have tons of testimonies of what God's doing among us. And then this whole thing of made for more, I think we'd see achieved dead easy. Because as we all live it out and teach others who teach others, we'll all end up doing more because we're faithful people in applying stuff who will teach others who will apply stuff. And if you try to stop us doing more, I think that'll be the problem at that point. Because we'll all want to be doing more because it'll just keep growing. Does that make sense? So let's jump to the other part of the passage. And I'll re-find it. So it says, right at the end, in verse 7, it says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. I love how that's put at the end, for two reasons, or a couple of things that kind of jumped out. The first thing he says, obviously, is about teach people who will teach other people. And the stuff that you've heard me say, go teach that to others. So basically, Paul's caught revelation from God. He's taught people who will go teach people. And he's telling Timothy to go do that. And then right at the end, he says, he gives Paul a load of stuff. And then he gives Timothy a load of stuff. And then he says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So he's still bringing to Timothy a thing that says, do you know what? Here's some stuff, but also you need to still get your own revelation. God can speak to you through other people, but God wants to speak to you himself as well. Take some time to consider this. What's God saying to you? So it's both processes. We learn from each other and we help each other come into the truth, but also we've still got to take time to consider what God's saying to us. It can't all be spoon-fed. And there's a responsibility for us to do that. Paul doesn't expand, I don't think, hugely these verses. He throws out a load of stuff in 4, 5, 6 and then says, you go and consider it. You uncover it. You pursue it. I don't know about you, but there's something like when you open a present, or it's so much better, isn't it, to open a present rather than be given something that's already open. Anyone agree with that? There's something nice about uncovering it and discovering it for yourself and going, wow, look at this. I really wanted that. I think that's what God does as well. He wants us to uncover things with him. Not just give it. Here it is. Nice and easy. It's all laid out for you. Go and uncover it. Open it up. See what's in these verses. So where am I on time? Ah, perfect. So, within my last 5 minutes, some challenges. One, are you a faithful person? It says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we have missed it, we don't condemn ourselves. We just learn and say, right, I'm sorry, God, for not being faithful in these things, and I want to start to be a faithful person. So what does that look like for you to be a faithful person and applying stuff? Are there things you've heard recently you're like, God's on my case on this, but let's apply it. Let's start living it. Because then as you live it, you can teach it. The next challenge, so that's challenge one, is what do you start need to apply to your life? And you might need help to do that. What do you need to start applying to your life? Next two, have a think about who, the stuff you've already applied and what God's done in you. That's the very stuff you can teach to others. So what stuff is in you that you can share to others? And who can you share that to? Because I believe God's placed us all around people, not for like, just for a nice little jolly or a coincidence. The people who are around are our spheres of influence. There's the people, the very people of like, we're meant to be teaching things and opening things up, and it's those people, just in normal, everyday life. It might be times when we take the effort as well to make sure we arrange something, but it can be normal, everyday life. And to respond on that, because you can be a faithful person who teaches others. 100% convinced it's not just for your Timothys and your special people. It's for all of us who've got stuff to say and can see lives get changed in front of us. And it's awesome when God does that. And then the final one, the challenge, is to have a look at the last verses yourself. What's God saying to you through those last verses? Take some time to uncover them yourself. Consider them yourself. What does he want to say to you? It might be you just pick one little bit that jumps out. What jumps out from those bits? Is it something about competing as an athlete? Is it about being a good soldier? Is it about the hardworking farmer? What jumps out to you? And spend some time consider, God, what do you want to say to me through this? Because God loves, he's such a good father. He just wants to speak to you personally as well. And that takes a bit of time, creating a bit of time and a bit of space. And just like I would as a natural father, I need to create time and space with my kids to understand them and understand what's going on in their lives. And just like that's what God's saying, take some time with me. Uncover things. He wants to do it with you. And then those things that you start to uncover will be some of those things that you start to share with others. And you'll see other lives get impacted by those things. And it doesn't need smart words. It doesn't need clever words. It just needs to be someone who God transforms. And then you can simply declare how he's transformed you. And off you go. And it's achievable. Because you don't need smart words to convince people then. You just need to be someone who's changing. Because that's what God does, doesn't he? He's awesome at that. Awesome at impacting lives. And so it's time, I'd say, to have confidence to open up your life, to not keep it in nice boxes and all hidden. It's okay to say, do you know what? A lot of the times, the reason why people, discover how you learn something is normally it involves a mistake first. You do something wrong, you learn out of that. And sometimes we don't like telling people our mistakes, do we? That's what we need to be confident with. It's all right, look, I've stuffed up on this, and then out of that, I've learned this. And you can come into a place of I come into a place of freedom. Would you like to come into a place of freedom on that as well? And those are my challenges for you.
Thanks, Paul. Going to have some time to respond to God during the worship and later communion, so I'm going to hand over to Andy and the team.
I can see the promised land, though there's pain within my plan, there is victory in the eyes, your love is my battle cry, when my fears die.